Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There's an old French fable that begins this way. One morning, the sun got up in a bad mood. "I'm really tired of getting up every morning and giving light to the earth day after day," it said. "I'm tired of ripening the corn and melting the snow. What does the human race ever do for me in return?" And so the sun was still thinking all this over when the rain arrived. "Lady Rain," the sun remarked, "you water the earth all the time and make the flowers grow. You turn the fields green and fill up the rivers. What does the human race ever do for you in return?" Hearing this, the rain furrowed her brow, broke out in a terrible noise, and fell headlong on the earth. And as she fell, she pounded these words, "Listen, Mother Earth, you let humankind work you, rip you open, scratch and scrape you. What does the human race ever do for you in return?" The earth turned into its own furrows and grumbled to the grain of wheat. "Hey, little grain of wheat, you let yourself die so that humankind can eat bread. What does the human race ever do for you in return?" And then the sun stopped shining. The rain stopped falling. The earth stopped holding grain. The grain stopped germinating. And life disappeared from the face of the earth. Eventually, the sun became bored because there was no longer any children dancing in its warmth and light. The rain became saddened at never seeing the smile of the gardener in his garden. The earth became weary at never hearing the joyful steps of the farmer on her back. And the grain of wheat began to rot in solitude. The Creator designed us to live in community. We need it like we need water or air. To share God's gifts and to receive God's gifts so that our life and the life of others can prosper. Have you ever closed your eyes and pictured a place in your past that really meant something to you? Have you ever used your imagination to think of maybe people or someplace that had an impact on you? Well, sometimes I like to close my eyes and I like to walk the hallways of my childhood church on a busy Sunday morning. The education wing of children's classrooms is bustling with stories as kids make crafts out of glue and raw pasta, eating Cheerios out of a Dixie cup. The sound of Miss Cinnamon's guitar echoes down the hallway as she makes her way from room to room. Songs like "This Little Light of Mine" and "Rise and Shine and Give God Your Glory, Glory." I can picture Mr. Mancinelli and Mr. Burt walking with purpose, focused on the mission to fix the front door, which had begun sticking since the colder weather had been coming about. In a room next to the sanctuary, quilters were firing up their sewing machines, discussing scripture over the percussiveness of their craft. The choir is robing in the basement, gossiping and laughing as usual they do. From the nursery comes a chorus of different cries, missing mommy and daddy. But between the big breaths, Between the big feelings comes the soft voice of a lullaby being sung by the honorary grandmother, whose smile of contentment is what life is all about. Is this an actual memory? I really don't think so. But I do know that it is powerful, that it may not be a fact, but in some ways it is true. It points to a multitude of experiences and feelings I felt in my church growing up. Like the sun, rain, earth, and grain, when people share God's gift and receive God's gift, when each shines and each person lives that light in community, a church can emerge. Now, because my parents were church leaders, I knew other stories. As I got older, I learned about those who were unfaithful with finances. I learned about those who were unfaithful to spouses. I learned about how some cliques lobbied to remove certain individuals from church leadership, or how others conspired against the pastor or a certain council member. And so as rosy as my childhood walk through the church halls is in my mind, I'm also reminded that community, that church, is not always healthy. Today, and certainly as Ben alluded to in Paul's time, while there is much going on in our world, it is worth reflecting this morning about our church, Grace United Church of Christ, this faith community that is rooted in soil here in Lancaster. Are we shining? Are we watering? Are we planting? Are we growing as a church with one another? Are we nurturing the God within us and those we worship with, those we covenant with? Or are we simply coexisting? Are we showing up to know one another, to support one another? Or do we show up and we check off the church box for the week? Now, there are good reasons why you may not be able to attend worship or be able to attend other church functions. But in the spirit of Paul this morning, we are challenged to reflect on this question that guides us. Is what we are currently doing enough to live in community with one another? Are we living in community, or are we simply just sharing space? Are we taking risks, finding strength in vulnerability, admitting when we fall short of sharing Christ's love, or are we staying reserved, keeping our true self from being free, free to participate in a common ministry together? In three letters, Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Corinthians, Paul employs a metaphor for the church. Now, throughout Scripture, there are many metaphors for the church: the household of God, the fortress, New Jerusalem, salt of the earth, God's temple, chosen people, bridge of Christ, and people of God. However, Paul makes this image central in three separate letters, which should alert to us the significance it had on the early church. And that is the image of a church, a faith community that is like a body, the body of Christ. Each person is unique, gifted, with a place and a function that no one else can fill. Now, Paul could have used many metaphors, such as the church being a tapestry or a mosaic of Christ, and individual members being fabric or tiny squares of something much bigger. However, that would diminish what I think Paul is getting at and what he's trying to communicate. A body part is interconnected with the other parts. So what does that mean? It means that when you are frightened, your body responds together. The sympathetic nervous system is activated, signaling adrenaline glands to release epinephrine into the bloodstream. The heart beats faster and stronger, while blood vessels constrict. Their hormones relax the airways, allowing the lungs to expand more easily, increasing oxygen intake. Blood is then redirected from non-essential functions to skeletal muscles, enabling them to perform tasks that would help the body survive and get through a difficult moment. What does that mean? It means what Paul shares in verse 26. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. It means that because you are a part of the body, which you are, when you are scared and you are going through something in your life, you're nervous about your health, worried about the front page of the news or what law is coming into place, you make it through when we stay connected, when people are on standby to react with you, to support you. In this church, we have a nervous system. Let me tell you, there are hearts, we have bones, there are lungs, and when we embody Christ's love for one another, Christ is present with us. However, imagine if one part refuses or shies away from responding, chooses not to share what God gave to bless yourself, but gave to bless others. Well, it's sort of like if the sun, rain, earth, and grain withhold themselves from creation. Life becomes desolate. Community is not the community in the way God envisioned us to live. So the story actually goes on. It doesn't end with grain dying. The story goes on where together the sun, rain, earth, and grain decide to have a meeting with God, the Creator. And this is what they say to God. God, everything is dying in this universe that you created to be good and fruitful. We ask, we pray that you give life back to this earth. We beg you. And God replied, "My friends, I have given you everything you need to support life on earth. Life cannot be born except through you and between you. And life will be born anew if each of you shares its nature with all creation. For life is born out of sharing of life. And where cooperation is refused or diminished, life cannot be." When we show up to worship or Bible studies or book studies, when we sit down and connect with others and know what is going on in one another's life, life can be born through us and between us. When we write cards to one another, when we sit down at the potluck and introduce ourselves to someone we don't know very well, or we listen to someone or ask them, "Tell me your life story. We've been next to each other for a long time. Tell me about your people." There is life that can be born through us and between us. When we share our gifts of teaching, music, sewing, mechanics, business, whatever that gift God may have given us, life can be born through us and between us. This morning, we begin a four-part sermon series on being the body of Christ together. We also kick off stewardship campaign because there is a reality to our current model of being the body of Christ. Together, to maintain this welcoming and affirming space, to do programming and to maintain staff, requires us to come together financially in ways God calls each of us to give. It is a way we show up for one another that life can be born through us and between us. It is common these days, also common to hear about churches that close their doors. And so let's not take for granted the ways God moves through our ministry together in ways that support the parts of the body of Christ. And so I invite you, the parts of the body of Christ, to assess the ways you show up and how you show up to support one another. Whether you're a member or not, maybe you come, but you are a part of the body of Christ. Are you intentional about being connected to others, willing to listen and to share? And I also invite you in this stewardship campaign that when leaders rise to share what resources we need to continue to be the church, the body of Christ, to pray about how you will give what has been given to you so that life can be born through and between us. Amen. Amen.